This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're talking with our friends Sarah and Nancy all about the music of Star Wars. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show.
And we are, like we said, joined by Sarah and Nancy, and so we're going to confuse you by having two Nancys. We've had multiple Brians in the past, but I think this is the first time we've had another Nancy on. So, hey, Nancy.
And Sarah. Hi, Nancy.
So,
hi.
We will, to lack the confusion, Nancy will be Nance Y, and I'll be Nance I. Or you can just be Nancy K, and I'll be Nancy S. Whatever.
I do that a lot.
Some of you might remember Nancy from our live show at Celebration Anaheim. She talked about one of the music panels she went to, and afterwards her and Sarah got talking about music and decided they were going to come on the podcast and talk about Star Wars music. So here we are. And first time having you guys on the show, we have to ask you the question we ask everyone, which is how you became a Star Wars fan. And Sarah, you can go first.
All right. Well, I became a Star Wars fan when I was probably about 3 or 4 years old, and my dad showed my sister and I the original trilogy movies, which we had on the VHS box set, you know, back then. And his reasoning was basically he wanted my sister and I to be friends of Star Wars, or to be fans of Star Wars, so then he would have an excuse to go see the prequel movies when they came out in a few years.
You didn't need an excuse for that.
Well, he didn't want to go alone, I guess. Oh. And he did, I don't know. But, you know, he had no idea what he was starting with me. And, you know, here 20 some odd years later, here I am. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool. Nancy?
I've told the full story on the Anaheim, Celebration Anaheim show. In brief, Star Wars had been part of my life since before I could remember, but only Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. I had somehow missed New Hope completely. We still don't know how this happened. And so I didn't see it first until I was about 11 or 12. And I saw it and the magic just worked. I was hooked. I watched it. Like, I would come home from school and watch it every day for a couple of weeks. And shortly after that, I discovered a cassette tape of the soundtrack at a local store, and I listened to that forever and ever, and then fell into the Zahn books, and away we went.
And we're around the same age, so we both had the same experience with discovering the Thrawn trilogy and just sucking you in.
Yep.
Awesome. So yeah, mm-hmm. Thanks you guys for coming on the show, and I think Brian and I are both really excited to talk about Star Wars music.
Absolutely. Yeah. But before we go too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
So, Nancy, what is new on the blog?
Well, we had an anniversary last week.
We did.
Yay. And since we never actually blogged about the wedding when it happened, I decided that a year anniversary was a good time to blog about it. So if you want to see pictures from a really nerdy Star Wars wedding, check out the blog. We also started a new series of columns called Legends Rex, which is basically taking something from the canon and saying, if you liked that, you should read this from Legends, or play this from Legends, or something to that effect. So to start off, I propose that if you like Rebels, you should read Wraith Squadron. And there'll be some more of those coming up.
We have a whole spreadsheet.
We do.
Of topics.
And one of them will be that if you liked Heir to the Jedi, or even if you didn't like Heir to the Jedi, you should read Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mindor. Yep. And it's not on our blog, but Amy Radcliffe did a bunch of write-ups about Star Wars weekends. She was here for weekend one. And you should check them out. They've got a lot of cool information about the drinks and the tiny desserts and the all the merchandise and the Rebel hangar and all that kind of stuff. And we also recapped our time at weekend two, and we will be recapping weekend three shortly. And finally, I revisited our why blank needs to be in Rebel series, this time talking about why the Rebellion leaders, aka Mon Mothma, Bail Organa, Bell Iblis, and Admiral Ackbar, need to be in Rebels.
Check out the links in the show notes if you want to find any of that stuff.
Yes.
And that brings us over to Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to. Nancy, what have you and I been up to lately?
Star Wars weekends.
That's pretty much it.
We had weekends 2 and 3. We ate lots of food for our anniversary weekend. If you were ever at Disney World and you want to go to a nice fancy dinner and you don't mind spending a lot of cash, go to the Yachtsman Steakhouse, which is located in the Yacht Club Hotel. It is the most delicious steak I've ever eaten in my entire life. I believe, Brian, you agree?
I still dream about that prime rib.
It was really, really good. And we also got to hang out with Star Wars author and cool person Jason Fry. And his son, who is also very cool and knowledgeable about Star Wars. So yeah, that was our time. And this weekend, we're very excited because we will get to hang out with our friend Savannah and our friend Grace and have fun and shenanigans. Yay. So that's what we did, and we'll rope our guests into it. And Sarah, what did you do this past several weeks?
Well, I've been living vicariously through everyone's tweets about Star Wars weekends and wishing I was down there.
Are we convincing you to come next year?
Oh, I'm definitely coming next year. I would have come this year if it wasn't for Celebration.
Yay!
Yay! I've also been, the other week I managed to find where they were filming Captain America Civil War in Atlanta and decided it would be a great use of my time to go hang out on the set periphery and try and catch glimpses of famous people, which I did. And I also waved at Chris Evans and he waved back. So that was pretty cool. I think that's pretty successful, yeah. Mm. And then I've just been planning costumes and whatnot for Dragon Con.
Awesome. Nance, why?
I have also been living vicariously through Star Wars weekend tweets and wishing I could go. I pretty much do that every year. And I've been keeping up with Star Wars comics and getting caught up with some other comics reading. Lately, however, I've mostly been up to my ears in a bunch of handbells. That's a musical instrument that I play. I'm a member of a choir, and actually immediately after Star Wars Celebration, I turned around and went up north to Mackinac Island in Michigan for a conference, and I taught a class. And it was a very full weekend. I've got an event coming up in 2 weeks, so I've been practicing a lot. So mostly handbell geekery as opposed to more fandom geekery for me lately.
Cool. So, yep. We will move on from Fixer Slash to Dig Cert news and around fandom. And we have a really awesome story to start off.
Yes, the Force.net has their Jedi Council boards, the message boards there. And for a long time, there has been a restriction in place on same-sex relationships and LGBTQ characters in fan fiction. Mm-hmm. Those restrictions are now gone.
Yay! So, people might wonder why this is important, because there are sites like AO3 or FFN even where that doesn't matter, but the TFN forums are still a big hangout for our fanfic, and with The Force Awakens coming out, I suspect that it will become quite popular again. Usually the fanfic kind of goes through phases, and I predict there's going to be an influx of people coming through and posting fic about episode 7, and also people who are, you know, still want legend stories. That's what fanfic is for, people. So yeah, that's a really cool story. And Gary Whitta tweeted that he is writing an episode of Rebels. And Brian, chat's not getting any sound.
Chat's not getting any sound, so keep talking while I troubleshoot this.
Okay, so Gary Ritta tweeted recently that he is writing an episode of Rebels. So, of course, everyone has to speculate if it's going to tie into Rogue One, since he wrote the first draft of that movie. I would say it's safe to say yes, because it's the same time period, and it would make sense. Chuck Wendig, also known as Buick Winnebago,
love that,
was at Phoenix Comic Con this weekend talking about his books, not Star Wars Aftermath, because he can't talk about that yet. But so yeah, I was very jealous. He was signing posters, but he will also be at Dragon Con. So if you were on the fence about going to Dragon Con, then you will definitely want to take that in consideration, because I am really, really excited to hear him talk about Star Wars.
And Dragon Con weekend's also when Aftermath's coming out, so if you wanted to maybe do a book signing, that's an option.
Yeah.
I think.
Go and get your book and then have him sign it.
Oh, how I wish.
And maybe we'll have some books to give out.
It's always a possibility.
Maybe. People are listening to this and want to give us some. We won't give them out until after it actually is supposed to come out.
We'll give you the mailing address to our hotel.
Yeah, why not? Or, you know, Sarah's house.
Yeah, that too.
So yeah, I'm really super excited about that. It's going to be a ton of fun to have him there. I want him on all the Star Wars panels, not just the book one. Speaking of books, Star Wars Reads Day, the annual event, is set for October 10th. Maybe we'll go this year, Brian. We never actually go.
We've always had something crop up.
Food and wine.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's your birthday that weekend, and so he always goes to food and wine. But although this weekend we might go. Have you guys gone, Sarah or Nancy?
Sadly, I have not. This is Nance Y. The October 10th is that weekend of October is usually a handbell event in North Carolina, so I'm spending 4 days doing something else. Almost always falls on the same weekend.
Yeah, and it's always football season, so I'd be up at school at football games, so there's that.
Yeah. I kind of feel like for us every day is Star Wars Reads Day.
Yep.
I really love the event though.
Yeah.
The idea and the feeling behind the event. I adore it. And I also adore the logo that came out.
Yes.
BB-8 is just too cute.
Yeah, it's so they have the logo with Yoda reading, and they also have an alternate logo with BB-8 reading, and BB-8 should be in everything because adorbs. And finally, this is not Star Wars news, but it is very relevant to the world of science fiction in general. John Scalzi, who is an awesome author, if you haven't read any of his books, you should go check out the Old Man's War book, because I think it is still on sale. He signed a monster 3.4 million, 10-year, 13-book contract with Tor, his publisher. That amounts to about one book every 9 months. And he'll be making a hefty six-figure advance for each of those. So, good job, John Scalzi.
Congratulations, John Scalzi.
Yeah.
And that, of course, brings us now into Big's bullshit Star Wars film news. We got more out of Vanity Fair.
Yeah, I think this is finally rounding up the articles. But they had an interview with Pablo Hidalgo, who is well known to Star Wars fans. And he mentioned things about the expanded universe and Legends, which was relevant to a lot of our interests. And also an interview with Kathleen Kennedy, who continues to be my favorite person in the world. And I think also Kay over at Fangirl Blog had a kind of a Reader's Digest version of all of the articles. So you can go check that out. But yeah, Kathleen Kennedy, she's my queen. I love her.
And finally, Vanity Fair and Annie Leibovitz can finally say who Andy Serkis is playing.
Yes, Annie Leibovitz did a interview on the official site about the photo shoot. And in the article, it revealed it had a new picture that wasn't in Vanity Fair, but it was of Andy Serkis in his mocap gear. And the article revealed his character as Supreme Leader Snoke. Cue jokes. Snoke jokes.
It's not worse than Dooku, though. I'll say
it's
that.
It's not worse than Sheev.
It's not worse than any Star Wars names. But this is why I'm a Star Wars fan. Let me tell you, the Sheev jokes sustained me for about a month. They were hilarious. And all the Snoke. See, I said Snoke. Snoke jokes are hilarious. I bring them on, I say.
Can't laugh at Star Wars. What can you laugh at?
Exactly. But so now I'm wondering, like what is his character like? Because obviously he's mocapped, so he's got to be some very odd looking alien. And if you look at that screenshot from the trailer of the First Order all assembled, it looks like that might be in the middle of, he might be in the middle of the back row where Captain Phasma is and all of the big hat guys, as our friend Admiral Jello likes to call them.
Big hat guys.
And that character, if you look at it intently, as I did the other day while it was paused, looks very tall. So maybe he's a very tall Mune-like alien? Oh no, cue the Plagueis people.
Oh no. Someone in the chat saying it'd be hilarious if the only way to get Andy Serkis in this was to mocap Andy Serkis.
Yes. That's like mocap inception. But the image of him sitting there is really badass. He's got a very badass expression on his face. And I mean, I'm cool with it because after seeing Planet of the Apes, I would see him mocap anything because he was fantastic in that. Also, I think Supreme Leader is a less intimidating title than Supreme Overlord, which was the title that the Yuuzhan Vong used. Just a random comment.
Duly noted. All right, that wraps up the movie news, which brings us into our discussion topic for the week. And we're doing something weirdly we haven't done before.
We haven't?
I don't believe we have.
I mean, we've talked about Star Wars music, but we haven't.
Here and there, yeah, but we've never really made it a central topic.
Yeah, and that's crazy because let me tell you that one of the things I was most excited about for the Star Wars special editions was not... I mean, I was excited about seeing the movies in the theater, but I was really excited about getting the full length soundtracks.
Yes.
Which
I am still angry we don't have those for Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. And probably never will.
My guess is that the one for The Phantom Menace didn't sell very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes me sad because, like, those soundtracks for the original trilogy, I have listened to so many times. But yeah, before we get... Yeah, they are. Before we get ahead of ourselves, yes, we were talking about Star Wars music. Because John Williams is a genius. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll all agree that Star Wars would not be Star Wars without the music. And when they announced that John Williams was coming back for Force Awakens, I was very... very excited, because even if he only does this first movie, it will at least be the basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll have that continuity.
Yeah, I mean, even like Harry Potter, he only did the first few films, but that theme, you know, kept throughout and is what
carried through.
Yeah. So, you know, we always never really keep to a show notes when we do these discussions, but I thought we'd just go ahead and talk about the themes from the saga, and Brian and the rest of our guests know more about music than I do, so I'll kind of just, I guess, moderate the discussion so you can have your informed opinions. But so Star Wars has a ton of themes, and I was actually trying to list them all. And our dog is punching the door for some reason. Yeah, she's being dumb. Sorry, guys. Our dog is hitting the door with her head. So, obviously, there's the main theme, which is also Luke's theme. And I was trying to list all of them and realized that the original trilogy has a lot more than the prequel trilogy. Which kind of made me sad, because I like all the themes for the prequels and wish there was more. Empire Strikes Back had three new themes, which was really cool, because they're obviously the Imperial March is probably what most people think about when they think of Star Wars. But so let's go around the table. Of all of the themes that we have, which are your guys' favorites? Brian, you want to start while I squirt our dog with water?
Oh, shoot. that's like asking me to choose a favorite child. I think it might be Leia's theme.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Why is that? You have to explain yourself. You can't just say.
It's just very elegantly arranged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before we continue further, I have to ask, I know, Brian, you did not see Star Wars in concert.
I did not.
Nancy and Sarah, did you guys go see Star Wars in concert?
No.
Yes.
Yay! Uh-huh. Star Wars in concert was one of my favorite things I've ever seen of Star Wars.
I really enjoyed it. Because I enjoy any chance to hear Star Wars music performed live. And because it was hosted by Anthony Daniels and he's just a stitch.
Yeah.
I'll display my music snob tendencies, however, and say that I prefer it when the music is in an orchestra hall as opposed to an arena. The Star Wars in concert that I went to see in Indianapolis was in a huge arena, and I could see that each of the instruments was mic'd. And, you know, I prefer that orchestra hall kind of natural sound.
Yeah, I agree. It was I just love the way they tied it all together into. I think that was the first time I really started thinking of Star Wars as one big saga.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they go straight through chronologically, and the videos they put with the music were really well made, and like,
oh, it was a very well done show.
Yeah, I remember watching the Across the Stars video and thinking, wow, Anakin and Padme's relationship was very tragic. And you know, it was just they had a lot of cool stuff like the flag parade, which is a very overlooked piece of music, but it was really, really cool in the show. So yeah, I just wanted to ask about that because Brian talking about Princess Leia's theme reminded me of how, like, that theme live, you could hear a pin drop during that last bit with the violin. Yeah.
Because everyone's on the verge of tears.
And it's like one little violin in this entire arena, and you can't hear a peep. No one is talking, moving. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, this is a good song.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking of when he said Princess Leia's theme, because I've seen that performed a couple of different times. And even when you're in the nosebleeds in a hall, it's one violin playing and you can hear it. Just awesome, amazing.
Yeah. Sarah, you're up.
Okay. Favorite theme. I mean, I'm going to have to pick the obvious answer and go with, you know, the main theme / Luke's theme, just because, I mean, partly because it's so iconic, but also it's simple enough that they can arrange it so many different ways depending on, you know, the setting. Like, you know, you've got the big bombastic opening credits version, then you've got the binary sunset version, and then you've got the really cool, like, minor chord version when Vader finally, like, breaks free of the Emperor's control and throws him off the ledge in the Death Star. So, you know, I mean, I hear that one and I'm just like, I'm ready to go. Like, I don't know where we're going, but I'm ready to go. I hear that.
Yeah.
But then I also really love the Luke and Leia theme, which we hardly get any of in the movies. You know, I think it actually really only shows up in Return of the Jedi and didn't even show up at all in any of the prequels.
No.
I'm so mad it didn't show up in the prequels.
Right. I know, and I'm just, like, that's the one of the one things I want from The Force Awakens is to have more of that, because it's one of my favorite bits from the whole, like, 6-movie soundtrack. It's so pretty.
So, I think Nancy might remember this, but in the Star Wars in Concert, that video was just, like, everything to me, because one of the things I always hated about the Expanded Universe was that they really dropped the ball when it came to Luke and Leia stuff and, like, them being siblings and awesome together. And that video was all, like, their sibling moments. And then when the theme, like, swells at the end, they have the shot, the slow-mo shots of them swinging across the Death Star chasm and then swinging across from Jabba's sail barge. And the first time I saw it, I just, like, my hands flew to my mouth and tears started streaming down my cheeks. And I was like, oh my god, I forgot how much I loved this song. Yeah, it was amazing.
It's great. It is great.
So yeah, Luke and Leia, I agree. Nance, why?
Well, Luke and Leia would also be my choice. it's a very sweet theme, and then it also has kind of a very poignant moment in the middle and towards the end that kind of speaks to the hardship that both characters have been through.
Mm-hmm.
It just has that different tenor from Princess Leia's theme, which tends to be slightly more optimistic. And Luke and Leia's theme has a little bit of that, I don't know, sometimes I feel like it's just a little bit of sadness layered over it, even though it's a very strong theme.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go with the Imperial March, because it's one of the most iconic, anyone know, if people don't know Star Wars music, they know the Imperial March. It shows up everywhere, and it is another very versatile piece of music that shows up across the movies. One of my favorite places where it shows up is at the death of Darth Vader. I think it's just a harp.
Oh, yes.
Just plucks those notes very slowly, and which is a huge contrast from a big bombastic march, but it works, and it's a great moment.
That part kills me every time. I'll be listening to it on the soundtrack, and I'm just like in tears. Mm-hmm. And I also love when in Revenge of the Sith, when he first gets the mask on and it's just that deep bass playing it. Yes. Oh my gosh. Like shivers every time.
I love the end of Attack of the Clones when that plays while
when it busts out.
When they're looking at the clone army. And that's the first time.
And the Republic theme kind of transitions into it, and you're like, oh, I see what you did there with that foreshadowing.
Yeah, but going back to Jedi for a second, it would have been so easy, like you said, to make Vader's death be this bombastic piece of music, but transitioning the Imperial March down to just the harp and piano. Mm-hmm. It was so beautifully understated.
And I just want to play a few seconds of this because this is the best version of the Imperial March.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Ah, the jaunty Imperial March from Rebels is my favorite thing that show has produced.
Okay.
I totally agree with you on that. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, no, you didn't. And then it was like, well, yes, you did. You turned it major, and whoa.
I didn't know I needed the Imperial March to be in a major key in my life.
But you got it, and you're much better off for it.
I really am.
It's like a school fight song. It's fantastic.
It is, but it still keeps those elements of the march. It has that layered chord thing in the middle. And
yeah. And then you want to go, Empire Day!
actually, going back to Luke and Leia's theme for a second, I just want to say that's one of my favorite uses of the French horn ever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a much overlooked instrument.
Poor French horn players. They're almost as abused and neglected as bassoon players.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess I have to pick one now.
Yes, you do.
Okay. I am actually going to say Across the Stars, because, it's just beautiful. And I'm biased because I walked down the aisle to it at our wedding, and it's the song that wakes me up every morning because I have it for my alarm because it starts off really, really quiet. And then gets loud.
It's a much more gradual way to wake up in the morning.
I tried to wake myself up with like really loud music and it didn't work. And that's just the perfect waking up song. But it's just a really beautiful song with the, you know, the harp and it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's the version at the very end of Attack of the Clones where it's a lot more bombastic. I love that version too. But I think I'll go with that one. I mean, I love them all, but if I had to pick just one, I'd pick that one. And it makes me sad because it's overlooked a lot, which I think also an overlooked one is Anakin's theme from Phantom Menace. I love that theme, and so many people overlook it because, you know, Duel of the Fates was the big song of that movie.
Yeah.
But the part in Anakin's theme when it, you know, kind of trails off into the notes of the Imperial March, that's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, he uses a lot of foreshadowing in the music for Phantom Menace. Like, my favorite example is the parade scene at the end where the kids are singing a sped up major version of the Emperor's theme. Like, the first time I realized that, I was just like, how did I not notice that before? It was my favorite part.
Yeah, I think probably all of us had that moment when you're watching it and you're listening to the song and then you realized, holy crap. crap, this is the Emperor's theme. And then it's just the creepiest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so tonally different.
Yeah. And this is the part where I admit that that is the ringtone when my mother calls me. And it scares me every time the phone rings. And whenever I'm walking around Star Wars weekends and that music starts, I think, oh, mom's calling.
Sometimes, I don't know, when I listen to Anakin's theme, I feel that that foreshadowing was a little heavy-handed, like a little bit too much. I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are times when, I think it's later in the symphonic version of the theme, when it gets way down in the bass,
mm-hmm.
and the Imperial theme comes out a little bit more. I enjoy that part a little less, or a little more than the hints earlier. Yeah. But it is a very, very clever rendition.
And if you watch it on the credits, it trails off into Vader's breathing, which I loved. Which is the reason why I stayed until the end of the credits every single time I went to see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Any other ones we wanted? I mean, we can talk about all of these because, you know, they're all great. I Yoda's theme usually doesn't get a lot of love, but I love it. It just seems to personify him so well because it's very somber at times, but then it's also more upbeat in the middle.
It's a little whimsical.
Yeah,
it is. It's
music
guy,
major.
Who's the guy who did the Burton Batman films?
Danny Elfman.
There's a little Danny Elfman in Yoda's theme, and I love it for that because it's a nice mix of jaunty and serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys watched videos of the Symphony in the Sky fireworks at all?
No. I've seen some of the videos y'all posted this week. That's about it.
If you watch the whole thing, it's not very long. It's less than 7 minutes, but. The Yoda's theme is one of the songs they do, and the fireworks that they do are like curlicues. And I love the way it syncs up with the music because it's like it's very whimsical and just like very much like Yoda. I think, and I remember seeing it for the first time. I'm like, this is a really, really cool use of that song. And well, I like those fireworks guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then they play Luke and Leia's theme and set it to fireworks, and we all start crying ugly tears.
And of course, I mean, you have to mention Duel of the Fates, because
of course,
probably one of the
when I was in core band in high school, I couldn't go to a competition without hearing at least a half dozen high schools playing Duel of the Fates as part of their field show.
Really.
It was, everybody played it.
Did they have the choir with it too? That's like half the fun.
Actually, one of the big 4A high schools I saw actually got their brass section to step up to microphones at the front of the field and sing that.
Oh my gosh.
Part while other stuff was going on in the background. Also, speaking of core band, go to YouTube and look up the Concord Blue Devils doing their 40-second warm-up to Across the Stars.
Oh, I have to watch that.
It's quite incredible.
All right. Anything else anyone wants to mention? I guess we have to mention the Force theme, because, you know... Binary Sunset. It's everyone's mm-hmm. favorite scene of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it's so versatile.
A lot of this music is. And there are times I really wish that the Force theme had its own standalone symphonic setting.
Yes.
Some of these themes do, some of them don't. And there's... The Force theme is one that I wish was there, although do you remember, I think, on the special edition soundtrack, there's the music from the funeral pyre scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's two versions of it.
Yeah.
The from the film and then the one that wasn't used in the film, and they're both on the CD, and they create a very, very cool little diptych, basically, of the Force theme.
Yeah, because you've got the first bit that's a little more orchestrated and a little more, I guess, bombastic, and then it fades into the one that's the movie version, which is the very simplistic one that I think starts with like an, I want to say a French horn, actually.
I think it is.
Yes, yeah. French horn.
Yeah. Yeah. That always bugged me that, because on the original soundtrack, it wasn't the one from the movie. It was the other recorded one, and that always bothered me. And then when the full soundtrack came out, I was like, can I just cut that part off, the beginning part off, and just have that
one? No, I always like the French horn version, especially since, you know, French horns typically used to denote heroes. Mm-hmm. And so having that over sort of Anakin's death is like a really cool, I guess, callback, or, you know, he might have been this evil guy, but now he really is the hero he used to be at the end.
Yeah. So let's talk about motifs. And see, I learned all these terms by reading the liner notes for this special edition soundtrack. Because if you read them, they're really freaking interesting. And
they are.
I'm really mad they didn't do those for the prequels.
Both the liner notes for these, and then if anyone has the box set published several years ago that has the four CDs in it, that came with an entire book in it. That was similarly very, very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have those, but I do have my dad's vinyl from when the when the movie was first released, and that's also got some cool like leaflets in it as well.
Yeah. All right, so Nancy, you took issue with my putting Jabba on here, and I'll defer to you because you know music more than I do.
mostly... My issue with this is only because it was expanded into a full symphonic score.
Yeah.
I've heard it performed live. It's on a couple of different CDs just as a standalone piece. In the films, it is a little bit more of a motif by that definition, but I don't know. I guess I could go either way with this, because full symphonic score does not necessarily equal theme for all the other ones we've been talking about. But let me tell you, hearing a tuba do this live is pretty dang impressive.
I can imagine. Sheesh. And I don't know. I guess, would you consider the Han Solo and the princess a theme or a motif? Because it doesn't really have a treatment, but there is that version of it that they use in. They use it at the end of Clash of the Lightsabers. They use it at the end of the main credits, or the credits for Empire. So
I'd argue it's a full theme.
Okay,
I think so too. Yeah,
yeah, I agree with full theme as well.
Yeah, it's a full theme that's like based off the Princess Leia theme and sort of inverted around a bit.
Yeah.
No, I'd say it's a full theme and not just a motif.
Yeah. And so, said, go ahead.
It will sometimes appear on, like, I have an Empire Strikes Back recording that is not John Williams. It's a different orchestra, different guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a track on here, Han Solo and the Princess. And I know they've done it in Star Wars in concert, and I've also seen it at other orchestra concerts that do Star Wars music, is someone somewhere put this together into a symphonic score, Han Solo and the Princess.
Yeah.
It's just never been released on a Star Wars, Star Wars, John Williams, London Symphony Orchestra kind of recording.
Okay. I think the Rebel fanfare is probably the one people mostly know, because it's the which is kind of everywhere.
I was looking for someone to sing. We were going to have someone sing at some point. I was pretty sure it was going to be me.
I can sing everyone.
I usually confuse Han Solo and the Princess with Marion's theme from Indiana Jones. Because they start to sing.
Sometimes I'll go to hum or sing Princess Leia's theme and end up singing Luke and Leia.
I always do that.
Yeah.
I do the same, except it turns into Han Solo and the princess. Yeah.
But
it's okay when I can get all three.
Yeah, but the Rebel fanfare is kind of, you know, that's the one when you want to rouse people up, and it's like the rally music. Boba Fett, yeah, that's a good one for someone to sing, because it's so low. And they don't use it very often, but I really love when it's used when he chases them after the...
When he steps out of the shadows at that Lando's...
Yeah. Room. Yeah. And I love the droids ones, too. Which I think is really only in Empire. I think that's when that started. But I can't remember.
That's when it started.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it shows up in Jedi anywhere.
Yeah. Another one I love from the prequels is General Grievous.
Oh yeah.
And they're in the soundtrack, they kind of expanded out to a full theme, but it's more in the movie, it's just kind of like interspersed throughout, like when they first meet him and then when Obi-Wan is chasing him. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really, really cool sounding piece.
Nice and spooky.
Yeah. And then the funeral theme is the one, I think probably the one from the prequels that people know the most.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad. I actually heard the soundtrack for Revenge of the Sith about a couple weeks before it came out. It might have been leaked on the internet, and I might have downloaded it. Thankfully, I asked someone beforehand, can I look at the track names? And they replied, yes. But once I heard the funeral theme, I pretty much knew what was going to end up happening to Padme. But I love the way that's used in Revenge of the Sith, with the interspersed with Padme dying and Vader being born. Mm-hmm. It was a really good callback, and I wouldn't mind hearing it again, but also that means something really bad has happened, so... Did you add that, Nancy?
Yes, I did. I threw that one on there because it's that, it's like a four note, just tiny little fanfare that happens in New Hope every time the Death Star comes on the screen.
Mm.
I don't think it got reused in Jedi, but it happens a lot in A New Hope.
Oh, yeah, I remember
from like one of the documentaries I watched that it was sort of the Imperial theme, and then and then when they came up with the Imperial March for Empire, they kind of disregarded that other little bombastic one. But yeah,
they had that the Death Star entrance, which was this little fanfare, and then there was
bum, that thing.
Yes, that one. And then the Imperial one was more like when they're, I can remember it from when they're wandering.
Yeah. That one.
I actually really like that theme. And wish
it'll show up in Rebels or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine as a theme, but Imperial March is
definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I also really liked the sort of the music that plays when Luke first asks Obi-Wan if he knows who Obi-Wan Kenobi is, and that sort of little mystical forcey theme, little magical something like that. And I really loved it again when they used it in Rebels, when Ezra first caught sight of Kanan, and you're like, oh, Jedi.
Yeah. And then when Obi-Wan goes, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi-Wan,
Obi-Wan, there's a name
I've not heard
in a long time.
Come here.
Oh god. So it's called Star Wars, so there's a lot of battle music, and these are some of, I know, Brian, your favorites. The first three are Well, no.
It's actually the last one on this list of my favorite, but I do love them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, battle music is some of the best music.
I know the Ashford Field is such a fantastic freaking song. with, you know, accompanied with the movie and just by itself as well.
Well, yeah, as for the Asteroid Field, when you think battle music, you think a whole lot of brass.
Yeah.
You don't think of a string section carrying this chase music, which is what it does there.
And it's got all those plucked notes and just kind of that staccato mess. Mm-hmm.
And it has a really good sense of movement, of like panicked movement, which
yes.
correlates with, you know, trying to avoid asteroids.
It's all choreographed so well with what's going on on screen. There isn't a bad example of matching the music to what's happening on screen, but at the Asteroid Field might be my favorite syncing up of those two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The TIE Fighter Attack, everyone knows that song, and it's used in, that's one of my favorite ones. Also known as Here They Come, because that's what it was called on the original soundtrack. and that was probably the first and most blatant occurrence of reusing music during the original trilogy, when they reused that during the Death Star attack in Return of the Jedi. But I don't care, because I think it works perfectly there.
I mean, it's perfect dogfight music.
Yeah. It really is.
Those are all dogfights.
Yeah. I Brian, I have to agree with you about the music accompanying the movie, because I think my favorite occurrence is Battle of Yavin. Mainly because I've seen it so many times, I know exactly.
You know all of the lines.
I know all
to their
the lines.
Musical cue.
Yes.
Oh, that's me with the entire soundtrack.
Well, yeah, but
especially the Battle of Yavin.
We were listening to it driving to Disney one day, and I was quoting the lines. And the Battle of Hoth is actually one that I don't really know as much.
Oh, this one I know.
But
that's one of my favorite.
Well, I wrote a fanfic and listened to it over and over and over while I was writing it. So then I was like, I actually really like this. and can I just comment that the deleted part at the beginning with the piano?
Yes.
They used it in Rebels.
I did, and I nearly fell off the couch.
Uh-huh.
Oh, same. When they brought that on with the walkers, and I was like, oh my god,
that's so well used.
Yes,
I know.
That's my favorite part about watching Rebels, is picking out all of the original trilogy music callbacks. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah, they're weaved in very, very well, and some of them are only these little cues you're gonna know if you've listened to this over and over and over and over.
Yeah, I'm actually wondering if they'll end up using the alternate take of Binary Sunset at some point in time.
Maybe.
That would make a lot. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, if they do, I expect to see it, you on Twitter just kind of
melting down.
Yep.
The next one is one of my absolute favorites, Clash of the Lightsabers. They did this at Star Wars in Concert to start the second act, but just the beginning part, when Luke is fighting Vader, and the whole like arena was dark, and then when the music picked up, they were lasers were all over the place. Ooh. And I was just sitting there like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. I love that song, and the end part of it too.
And I think it reappears in, if I'm remembering correctly, in Revenge of the Sith, when Yoda and Palpatine start their final duel.
Yes, it does. And I about fell out of my chair in the theater when that started. Well, yeah, when that started. And then later on, it went into Duel of Fates, which I started actually literally bouncing up in my chair when I heard the notes for that start playing. Yeah, Clash of Lightsabers is one of my favorites, and but the whole track on the soundtrack, when it leads into this version of using Han and Leia's theme as they escape Cloud City is amazing. The whole end of Empire is just fantastic music from start to finish.
Yeah.
It's just a never-ending barrage of just great, perfect music.
Mm-hmm.
They even slot Yoda's theme in there. Lando and Leia are running around shooting up holes in stormtroopers and in the corridors, and Yoda's theme is playing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not listening, it goes right by you, and it sounds seamless with what's going on, and then you realize it's Yoda's theme, and what?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever actually noticed that. I'm going to have to go listen to it again.
Yeah, me too. And the next one is Sail Barge Assault, which I just love just because of the scene that it is.
I love that one a lot.
I envision Luke being Luke and
badass. I love the build up to it with just the
bump.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it bursts into the super heroic music as he flips off the sail barge and catches his lightsaber and proceeds to just unleash hell, and it's mm-hmm. great.
Bum, yeah, bum. The Sforzandos at the beginning are really ratchet up that attention.
Sorry. And there's an alternate version of that one too, which I wouldn't be surprised to hear on Rebels.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. I feel like the McQuarrie art, mm-hmm. any Williams stuff that didn't get used is fair game in Rebels.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
Absolutely not.
No. And then we have Brian's favorite.
Okay, so for my money, the Battle of Endor is the most perfectly choreographed, edited, shot, and scored action sequence in the entire saga.
Yep.
And a huge reason it works so well is because of the musical cues.
Can we all say it in unison?
It's a trap!
Yeah, that means, yeah. Bum, bum, ba da bottom. Bum, bum, ba da bottom.
It's very locked.
The beginning and the swell towards realizing that the shield is still up is just amazing.
Pull up! Oh, crap, pull up! I can't hear that music without trying to say it.
Take our base of action.
Red group, we have enemy ships in Sector 7. That's a trap.
the symphonic suite is also very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't like it quite as much as the soundtrack version, though, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah. The prequel soundtracks have a lot of really good battle themes that aren't, or battle music that isn't really themes, like the music when Obi-Wan fights Jango in Attack of the Clones. I really love that. It kind of reminds me of something like Sail Barge Assault or the Asteroid Field, where it's just very, like, it starts off like and I have to like dance around with my shoulders when I hear that song. And the when Obi-Wan fights General Grievous in Revenge of the Sith is really awesome. Mm-hmm. And I can see them, you know, chasing him down with that wheelie shipped whatever.
Yeah. Theme. It matches the action pretty well. Very frenetic.
Yeah. The Order 66 montage makes me cry every time I listen to it. It's very sad.
All those sad strings.
Yeah.
I'll get you.
Freaking Anakin's dark deeds. Jerk. Anakin versus Obi-Wan. Ugh. It's so good, but sad.
I love the track name for it on the soundtrack is Battle of Heroes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... Mm.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite... it's not quite a fight song, but the music that plays when they're chasing Zam through Coruscant at the beginning of Attack of the Clones. Mainly because it's a little more avant-garde than the rest of it, and there's like the electric guitar in it and a little more... That weirdness to it, and I kind of like it because it sticks out so much.
I will have to say, though, that once you realize that that music is the same music that they play during Quidditch in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, you will never be able to unhear it.
Oh. I don't think I noticed that.
It's the exact same music. And, I mean, John Williams did both at the exact same time. So, yeah, my friend pointed it out one time and I listened to it and I'm like, oh, crap, now I'm never going to be able to not hear that.
Oh, it's okay. It's like Gladiator and Pirates of the Caribbean have the exact same musical themes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, composed by the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, who did Apollo 13?
James Horner.
James
Horner. Yeah.
I mean, at least it's not like James Horner, who you can sub any soundtrack out of for any movie and you get functionally the same thing.
No, Apollo 13.
His soundtrack for The Rocketeer was excellent.
Yes, but Apollo 13 and Avatar were functionally identical.
Mm. But not the same as Star Trek.
Yeah. So this is a really hard question and we're all going to scratch our heads about it.
No, that's
not fair.
But
I'm asking it. So your favorite musical cue? It's not necessarily a theme or whatever, just any piece of music from the movie.
Actually, I know kind of right off the bat which one I would pick.
I'm glad you do, because I don't.
I mean, obviously, there's a whole bunch of different ones, and I've mentioned them before, but I think, and this one isn't on the soundtrack at all, which I'm very sad about, but the very beginning of Revenge of the Sith, right after the credits music, and it goes dead silent except for the steady
drums.
And then it pans down to see the big, it's not a Star Destroyer at that point, but, like, you know, the big capital ship over Coruscant, and then you have the two little Jedi fighters come, and this, like, super, super heroic version of the Force theme plays, and, you know, you're just like, okay, yeah, this is the movie we've been waiting for. This is the soundtrack, you know, this is where it's all gonna, it's coming together, and it's gonna, you know, oh my god, it's like, it's one of my favorite bits, and whenever I watch that movie, if I'm watching it with anybody, I make them go, like, dead silent at that point.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I think for me, I get the most excited when I hear any part of the Force theme, because I know something wonderful is about to happen on screen as soon as I hear those first few notes queued up.
Especially in the throne room.
Yes.
Yeah. Nancy?
Go a little bit sideways with this one. The moment in Jedi when Vader has provoked Luke too far and he shoots out.
Mine.
Oh, that's a good choice.
And yeah. He is now fighting with everything, and it's the Emperor's theme that swells to the biggest it's ever been. And he's winning and he beats Vader, but it's the Emperor's theme, and it's that juxtaposition of what we've just seen our hero do with the music of the villain.
Yeah.
And that moment shifts. That sequence, that right when he starts, that cue, that gets me every time.
The that whole track, Dark Side Beckons, it was not on the original soundtrack. And that was the thing I was most looking forward to getting when I got the Return of the Jedi soundtrack, special edition soundtrack, and I think I listened to that on repeat like 1,000 times when I first got it. Because it's so quiet when Vader is stalking him, and then it swells up, and then he shouts, "Never!" and comes out swinging. So that was what I was going to pick. So I'll pick my alternate, which is probably my saddest piece of music from the saga, which is the immolation theme.
Oh.
Lord.
Yeah. The first time I heard that, I cried and I said, I can't picture the scene in my head, but I know it's going to be awful. And then when I saw it in the movie, I said, this is worse than I thought it was going to be. Because it's stupid. You were my brother.
Yeah, the look on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, and my other two that I would probably pick would be like we said, the harp that plays the Imperial March as Vader dies, and then the singular bass playing the Imperial March as he takes his first breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry to be a downer. Okay, I'll pick another one, too. That's really, like, not the complete opposite of that. The Ewok Feast. No. That's Parade of the Ewoks. That's Parade of the Ewoks. Because I love how it starts off with one layer, and it just keeps building and building and building and building. It's great. It's like, boom, and you hear, like, the drum in the back, and then boom, 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 boom. And it just keeps building, and it's like, it's so fun and ridiculous. Just like the Ewoks.
True.
So, most underrated piece. I know the answer I want to use off the top, right off the bat.
Yeah, me too.
Go for it.
For me, I think it gets a bad rap, but I actually really, really, really like the celebration theme at the end of the Return of the Jedi Special Edition.
Me too.
I think it's way more thematically appropriate than Yub Nub.
I'm flicking you off, not because I disagree with you, but because you took my answer. That was also the one that I went home and listened to, first of all, because I think I read in, like, the Insider they were replacing the music, and I was like, oh, I have to hear it, so I went, skipped ahead on the soundtrack, and I was like, oh, I cried.
I mean, I like that one too, but I also really do have a soft spot in my heart for Yub Nub.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
It's
I'm
a battle
sorry.
Cry.
I think we all have a soft spot for Yub Nub, but I at this point, I can't picture Luke looking at the forced ghosts of his two dead mentors and his dad near Yub Nub playing in the background.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I have the DVDs that have the theatrical versions on them, so those are the only ones I watch, so.
Celebrate the love.
I can't. Yeah.
I like that they brought that in at the end. The choir singing those words. That was brought in, however faintly, at the end of the new one.
Yeah.
Mine has got to be Rescue from Cloud City Hyperspace, which was also used for the Snowspeeder Rescue. Even though that, you know, there's a different piece of music, it's that they didn't use in the film for the snow speeders, but the hyperspace cue has always been one of my favorites because it's so thematically appropriate. It's driving forward, it's tense, it's almost tripping over itself, and you're just willing for the heroes to get away.
Mine would be, I think probably, I believe the track's called Padme's Ruminations, but it's the song that plays, or the music that plays in that scene in Revenge of the Sith where Anakin's in the temple and Padme's in her apartment and they're kind of like gazing, sort not at each other, but like, you know, across the city towards where the other one is. And it's just that kind of singular female voice. And then I think some like tension on the strings, and it really just heightens the emotional distress that Anakin's in and that Padme's in to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I consider that hands down one of the more romantic scenes in between Padme and Anakin. You know, just the no words with that music expressing all of their fears and their worries about each other and about the galaxy and about themselves.
I have to go with the Emperor's Throne Room from Return of the Jedi, which is when Vader brings Luke to meet the Emperor. And I love everything about that scene in particular. It might be my favorite scene from Star Wars, just because I love the implication. I love the acting in it. I love the music in it. But it's so understated, the music. And it swells at just the right moments. And, like, if you just listen to it on the soundtrack, it's so utterly creepy. And I love listening to it when I'm writing, like, really scary, creepy scenes. Yeah. So other soundtracks. I want to hear Nancy talk about the Shadows of the Empire soundtrack.
Oh boy.
I actually really liked Prince Caesar's theme and the Seduction of Princess Leia. And I don't care who makes fun of me for it.
Yeah, I will fight people on this one because I actually like this quite a bit. Just by itself as music. Caesar's theme is great. It's that last 2 minutes of the track, and it is. It's really great, and it charges forward into a new key, and I think the Battle of Gaul is the second track on the CD, and it is also it's some good battle music, and it has like this, not a Rebels fanfare, but he tried to create kind of a kind of some background music for stuff going on with the Rebels. I mean, it's not meant to, it's supposed to evoke various emotions and sequences in the books, and not try to score them directly. But it's also kind of funny as an artifact of legends now, but as music, I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
And that was the thing with a lot of the video games. Most of the video games just lifted the Williams stuff wholesale and recycled it and used it as is within the games. Shadows of the Empire was one of the few games that went out and scored a lot of original stuff for the game. So there's that one, and then there's also a lot of great original stuff in like the Knights of the Old Republic games.
Oh yes, Revan's theme is so great.
Hmm. Now that's stuff I haven't listened to.
Yeah. Revan's theme, it's almost reminds me of Indiana Jones in a way. Like the kind of music that would play when he finds the artifact of the movie or whatever. And then it gets reused a lot in Star Wars The Old Republic in various cutscenes. It gets remixed, and it's kind of become as ubiquitous as the Force theme is in the original movies. But no, it's a cool one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we've got things like the Clone Wars.
Yeah. I don't know the Clone Wars as much as other soundtracks, but I was listening. Kevin Kiner has the soundtracks on his website. You can stream them. And this, the music when Ahsoka leaves the Jedi Temple is so sad. And it's really, really awesome. And I also really liked some of the more themes, like when Darth Sidious is fighting Maul and Savage Opress. Those are really, really cool pieces.
I'm gonna have to look those up because I haven't listened to that music at all.
Yeah, I've only seen Clone Wars once through, so I'm not as familiar with the music. But I do know that I think for some of the episodes, they did actually get John Williams to write stuff for it.
I mean, it might be recency bias, but the Clone Wars soundtrack just doesn't stick out to me as much as Rebels does.
Yeah. I also think, like all things with Rebels, for me at least, I think it has the advantage of learning from Clone Wars. I feel like Kevin Kiner is getting more better in general.
Well, and I'm going to own up to, the original trilogy soundtrack has a lot more nostalgic meaning to me than the prequel trilogy soundtrack does.
Mm-hmm.
So Rebels
kind of ties
lifting
into that
a lot from the original trilogy kind of plays into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having a very, very gut level response to those.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that also the original trilogy themes are just simply more recognizable than a lot of the prequel music. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can play the Force theme or the Imperial March to anyone and they'll know, oh yeah, that's Star Wars. Whereas you don't quite get the same kind of longevity. And that's mainly because I'm sure, you know, the prequel movies are more recent and, you know, the original trilogies were the one that started it all, but
yeah.
Well, and a lot of the prequel trilogy music were kind of riffing off a lot of the original trilogy themes.
Yeah, that too.
Well, it's just, you know, you've got when you're in the sixth movie of a series, you're going to use
You're going to recycle stuff.
Yeah, and that's not... Yeah. You know, a lot of people criticize the prequels for that. I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I think if they hadn't used the Imperial March, it would have been really weird.
Like, okay, I'm sorry, but the first time Poe Dameron and his X-Wing group shows up on screen, if they don't come out to some variation of the Rebel fanfare... Something's not right.
Stop. I'm walking out of the theater.
Stop my heart. What if they duel to some part of like the TIE fighter attack?
Oh, that would be cool.
Oh Lord, I think it would stop.
Brian,
I'm gonna need to buy that soundtrack and just listen to it on repeat for 3 weeks.
As the minute that it's available for pre-order, I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Probably won't. I will probably wait on that and wait until I see it in the theater first.
If I can buy a pre-order version that doesn't have track names on them, I'll consider it.
I'm wondering now if they'll end up putting it out beforehand.
You know, they've been holding everything out, so I would not be surprised if the soundtrack is also digital first.
Yeah.
On December 18th, yeah. And then the CD will come out sometime later.
Well, they can have the CD available, like, because I know Amazon, if you order a CD, you get the digital copy right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I will be buying the digital copy immediately, and also probably getting the CD just so I have it, but before looking ahead to Force Awakens, I wanted to go back to Rebels, because, like, we talked about the glory to the Empire theme is, like, it's just so perfect and awesome. But
and I was, just to sneak something in here. Yeah. I was genuinely surprised because here you think you've heard everything the Imperial March can do.
Then we don't think of the obvious. Oh, let's put it in a major key.
Yes.
Yep. And make it jaunty.
Yeah. Right. And the music that's playing when Kanan reveals himself as a Jedi, you know, the kid, I'm about to let everyone in on a secret, that music, it turns very quiet and it has a little bit of the Force theme in the background. It's really, it fits absolutely perfectly. And the music and in the last episode, both when the Inquisitor dies and when they are fighting the Star Destroyer's forces, and then the rebels show up as their rescue. It has a very, very neat fanfare when they show up, and you know they're here to save the day. But yeah,
we would get a full treatment of the rebel theme music.
Yes, I really like that theme.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that theme, and I think I'd buy a soundtrack for Rebels actually if one comes out. I hope it does.
Hope it does too.
Yeah.
Yep. We've mentioned it earlier, but I am enjoying how those familiar cues are showing up, whether it's Princess Leia's theme or whether it's a brief moment from when the Millennium Falcon gets pulled into the Death Star. You know, these little things keep showing up in the soundtrack, and fortunately it's not been something that pulls me out of the show when I'm watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I can hear them when I'm listening to the soundtrack on his site, and I'm glad that they've been woven in well enough that when I'm watching it on TV, my brain suddenly doesn't sidestep and go, oh, I know this.
Yeah. The music that's playing at the end of the first episode when Kanan is listening to the Obi-Wan hologram, it's like the Force theme, and then it turns into the main theme in a slower version. I really, really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving ahead to Force Awakens, I mean, obviously we're all going to buy the soundtrack. We mentioned a few things already of what we'd like to hear, but anything else we want to note before we... I do agree, I would really love to hear some Luke and Leia.
Yes.
I don't know if they're going to be together in this movie, but if they are ever, and I, god damn it, I really hope they are, because I'll be really mad if we don't get one scene of them together in the whole freaking movie or trilogy, but that needs to play.
It does.
When that happens.
I know, it's such a criminally underused theme in the rest of the movies.
I was convinced that, because like the end credits music of all six movies tend to have this same kind of pattern.
Yeah.
Where they have one of those slower themes, more softer melodic themes in the middle. And I was convinced that Revenge of the Sith was going to be Luke and Leia's theme over the credits.
Yeah.
The twins are just born and we did the whole sunset inverse theme and oh my god, isn't it gorgeous? And I was convinced it was going to happen, but they put Leia's theme in there instead.
Yeah.
Forever better.
Yeah, I agree. Especially because that music, when they're kind of handing off the twins, like, they finally, we get to see Alderaan on screen, and they have Princess Leia's theme, which is perfect. And then it cuts to the Lars homestead. You hear a little tiny bit of the main theme, and then it's, you know, as Luke is presented. And then it switches over to the Force theme, which I've said before, I think that I said the prequels had to end with them doing the sun, with Luke being delivered and having the binary sunset with the Force theme playing in the background. And I was adamant that that's how that movie needed to end. And that's how it ended. And I was so vindicated. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing the new themes and who they're for. I think I speak for everyone when I say Rey needs to have her own theme.
Oh yeah. Well, and I'm hoping if everyone's speculation's correct and she is, you know, a Skywalker solo, that her theme will be kind of built off Princess Leia's theme or the Force theme or both.
Yes.
And I'm interested to see if they're going to continue, probably not using the Imperial March theme directly, but whether they're going to tweak it to fit the new bad guys.
Or something entirely new.
Yeah, or if they're going to do something entirely new. You know, I'm interested to see what that's going to be.
Agreed. And I, one of the things I was disappointed in the prequels is the space battles. You know, like, but I think
the lack of them.
Well, they had some, but it's really hard to compare to like Battle of Endor, you know, or something like that. But like I'm really looking forward to hearing the music that's playing when whatever that X-wing battle is of them over the water, because I have a feeling I'm gonna like it.
Right there with you, boss.
Yeah. I'll say I'm really, really excited because the music that has been played in the teasers has been absolutely fantastic. And and it's new. Like, and everyone talked about John Williams creating new music for the first trailer, but no one talked about it for the second one, really.
Or I like the music in the second one so much
more.
Me
too.
Same.
The little chord resolution that plays when you see the person with the mechanical hand, who I'm assuming is Luke, put his hand on R2. It's like my favorite bit. I have that, you know, 2-second loop stuck in my head constantly.
And that little piano note.
Yes.
It's perfect because it's like, you know, you have the little bit of the Force theme in the first shot, which is so nostalgic. And then it's very low, very moody music as the narration is going, and then you know, it cuts to more of a rousing theme as the X-Wings are going, and then it goes into sort of a, it's like when the music when Yoda lifts the X-Wing, it has that beat to it, and then of course, you know, Chewie, we're home, and goes into the, you know, part of the main theme. So yeah, I mean, if that's the kind of thing we're getting for the movie as a whole, I mean, The soundtrack might be my favorite part of the whole thing.
Not that there's anything wrong with
that.
No. You know, and I'm not just looking forward to Force Awakens, but I'm also looking forward to the Rogue One soundtrack, too.
Mm.
Because Alexander Desplat, I believe is how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
He did such a good job on Deathly Hallows and the Harry Potter movies, which, again, was him working with themes that were created by John Williams and then tweaking them to fit the mood and fit the story. And so, assuming that they do that to a certain extent in Rogue One, like, I'm sure the Rebel fanfare will show up at some point, and, you know, of course, the main themes and whatnot. But I'm excited to see what that's going to sound like, too, because, you know, what how it's if it's going to fit in tonally to the same
as
John Williams stuff, or whether it's going to kind of do its own thing. And either way, I think it could be really great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of soundtrack music by itself as as a genre. And I also just, you know, if the music has to grab me in the movie and mean something to me within the context of the movie. I'm with you there. I'm really interested to see how that works.
And speaking of Deathly Hallows, you know, I liked that soundtrack, but one of the things I also really liked about it was the ending, you know, of part two, which I didn't really care for part two as a whole, and I know, you know, a lot of people talk bad about the epilogue but disregarding that, I think the reason I liked the epilogue in the movie was because of the use of the main Harry Potter theme at the end of it, which is, you know, calling you back to the beginning, you know, of the first movie of them, you know, leaving, you know, on the Hogwarts Express. And it's just absolutely perfect. And, you know, I think that sort of thing is good to hear, knowing that he's going to be, you know, taking the same composer's, you know, basis and using it to make a new soundtrack. And I think probably with what Kevin Kiner does for Rebels and Clone Wars, you know, using basic themes, but then creating his own stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anything else we want to note before we...
I have something I'm just curious about. If anyone here has seen John Williams himself live in any with the ensemble.
Yes. That was one of my first concerts ever. And it was like right after I became a Star Wars fan. And he was with the Boston Pops. And I don't think he played any Star Wars. But... he did play, he played, I think, E.T., the flying theme, and he had they did the Schindler's List theme, which was, I mean, had everyone in tears.
Yeah.
I did see the London Symphony Orchestra perform music for Star Wars, which was really awesome.
The the Spielberg chat with John Williams for Schindler's List is one of my favorite Hollywood film anecdotes ever.
Oh yeah.
The what?
Oh, so Spielberg shows Williams a rough treatment of Schindler's List, and John Williams says something to the effect of
it's like, there's no way I could score this.
Yeah,
and
there's
do
no
it
way I can score this movie. And Spielberg replies, well, everyone who could have done it justice are dead, so it's up to you now.
Oh, wow.
I saw John Williams conduct the Chicago Symphony several years ago. He was doing a concert of music from films by David Lean. So Bridge on the River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago. So they did a thing similar to Star Wars in Concert, where they had scenes from those movies up on a big screen and while he was conducting the orchestra. And from where I was sitting, way up in the highest balcony ever, I could see down to where he was conducting, and I could see he had a screen in front of himself as well with a wipe moving across it that was timed to when the scene was cut. To when it was going to change.
Oh, wow.
So he could time where the music was going to match what was on the screen, what the audience was seeing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, that was so cool to see that this was how it worked. That, because it boggles me sometimes with soundtrack music. I mean, when I perform, we're not performing to an image, we're performing to an audience. So we don't have to have that timing to match the action of something going on. And that timing just blows me away a lot of the time, how he's able to compose that and also conduct it.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out and played 4 encores, the first of which was the Imperial March, and I pretty much died.
Nice.
God, that sounds like an awesome concert.
Yeah, that was one of the things I loved about Star Wars in Concert was the Imperial March ended the first act.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they played like the throne room and the end title, and then they ended up doing a encore of the Imperial March, and everyone like kind of started to leave, and then everyone just kind of like stopped, because I'm like, don't leave, you're the freaking encore people, you know what they're gonna play,
right? Exactly.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for coming on. We had a really good time of talking about Star Wars music, and it was great. So where can we find you guys on the internets?
Well, you can find me mainly on Twitter at Sarah Demp, SARAHDEMP, one word. I'm on there far too much for my own good. and that's the main place.
Mm-hmm. And I am also on Twitter. I am Decibel5, DECIBELLE, number 5. And my Twitter activity can be a little sporadic depending on what's going on in real life. But I used to be on LiveJournal, which is where I met Nance I. But now there are tumbleweeds going through where I used to be.
Yeah. Poor RIP LiveJournal.
Poor LiveJournal. All right. Well, this episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site to help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. We are available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will catch you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.